It always makes your work day wonderful when you have amazing artists like Miss Molly Tuttle swing by the Sun Radio studios. I am Beto, and you are Miss Molly Tuttle. Welcome to Sun Radio.
Thank you for having me. I was listening to Sun Radio on my way here in the car, getting excited to be here. So thanks so much for bringing me into the studio.
Yeah, and tell us how much you loved hearing what you were hearing on Sun Radio.
I loved it. I loved all the music you guys were playing. It got me really excited to be here. A little nervous. I was like, oh man, this is a good radio station. Aww. My tour manager, Philip, lives here in Austin. He's a huge fan. So he was giving me the scoop on this awesome radio station.
Yeah, shout out to Philip and Coop, I think he said was the band that he cut his teeth with back in the 90s here around town. So anybody wants to go down a wormhole on the YouTubes, just try and search up Coop and maybe you can find out.
I don't know about Coop.
You are out there rocking for the Highway Nose Tour. Yes. In support of this amazing album that you've put out, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that here coming up. You're in town tonight for a sold-out show at Antone's. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I've never played Antone's. I'm excited. I've heard that it's a great place.
How much of a beautiful humble brag. I've never even played Antone's, but I've sold it out my first time ever playing. That's what I heard, Molly.
I didn't mean to do a humble brag. I guess maybe it sounded like one, though.
No, that's amazing. I think that's just a testament to you, your career, and what you got going on, like, right now. We're going to talk about the album, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine, in a second. You're actually playing Fredericksburg tomorrow, so you have two Central Texas stints.
Yes.
You can follow along with her at mollytuttlemusic.com if you're hearing this months later or whenever, and you want to make sure you don't miss her next time she's in your area. You were saying that you love Sun Radio. We have a free Sun Radio app that musicians tell me that they listen to on the road, and I get the analytics of it every day, and we have like 400 people every day that tune in from the app from Hungary.
What?
Yes.
That's so cool.
And I don't know what it is. I'm like, do we have a bot farm in Hungary? But the reach is very vast.
You're so global.
Say hi to everybody across the globe.
Hello to everyone across the globe, especially the 400 people in Hungary.
Yeah.
Who I don't think they're bots. I think they're real people.
I want to believe, Molly. I really do. I love like the backstory of musicians when I hear that there was a family tie. Because I'm always like, all right, were you browbeaten into this? We just had Hunter Metz come through. He was also on tour. And he kind of had the same family upbringing with a family band.
Oh, cool.
And I read that Little Miss Molly Tuttle,
yes,
kind of your first want of an instrument was, Daddy, teach me the fiddle.
Yes.
So your dad was a fiddler.
My dad, yeah, he is a music teacher. He teaches, his main instrument that he loves is the fiddle, and he loves the mandolin, but he also teaches guitar and banjo. And when we had a family band, he even played upright bass with us, because me and my brothers, I played guitar and banjo, and my brother played guitar. My youngest brother plays the mandolin. So my dad ended up on the bass. But yeah, when I was 4 years old, I wanted a fiddle so badly. I loved the fiddle. I still just love fiddle music, but I just could not get the hang of it. Something about the bow, and there's no fret, so you have to be perfectly in tune, slide your finger to the right place. It was too hard. I gave up, and I feel like my dad, for whatever reason, he was not my fiddle teacher. He got me Suzuki violin lessons, and they're very particular about how you stand. They gave me a little mat with little placement for my feet.
Oh my.
And you have to put your hands in the right place, and it was just too much for me as a little kid. So then I ended
up
at four. It was a bit much. Yeah, I just wanted to be outside hanging out with my friends. So then when I was 8 years old, I thought, well, I'm going to give it another try, but I really want to play the guitar this time around. And so my dad brought me back from, he taught at a music store when I was growing up that had some rooms in the back where teachers would do music lessons. And he brought me this little Baby Taylor guitar, which is a tiny little guitar from the music store, when I was 8 years old, and started teaching me chords and little simple melodies just sitting on the couch at home. And that to me felt a little more relaxed than the Suzuki lessons I'd taken when I was four. So I just took to it, and it became really fun. It was like a fun thing to do with my dad. And then when I got a little better at playing, he would take me to bluegrass festivals and jam sessions, and I would try to play along. And yeah, just slowly developed the bug. And then when I was about 15 or 16, I decided this is what I want to do. I'm going to pursue my dreams.
So 11 years later, you were just learning that entire time and taking lessons. And then 15, 16 was the realization, like, you know what? I want this as my life.
Yeah. Well, I was in high school and all my friends were deciding where they wanted to go to school, what they wanted to study. And I wasn't really a great student. All I was sort of good at was playing the guitar. So I was like, I guess that's what I want to do. I ended up going to Berklee College of Music in Boston after high school and then just moving to Nashville. I've lived in Nashville for 10 years now.
Okay, a lot to unpack there because I'm very curious. First, we got to give a shout out to the family band. They were called The Tuttles.
Yes, The Tuttles.
Which I love.
Yeah, and my dad actually grew up, so my grandfather played the banjo when I was a kid, and they had the original Tuttles. They were the Tuttles with my grandparents and my dad's two sisters. So he grew up on a farm in Illinois. They would go down to the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville and see the Opry and go to bluegrass festivals around Illinois and had their original Tuttles band. Then my dad moved out to California and we were the second iteration of the Tuttles.
Right. The Tuttles, part deux.
Yes.
So spent some time in Nashville, a decade now, but born on the West Coast. Mm-hmm. And I've kind of heard just from what you've said, like the grandpa and the fiddle and the banjo. I wouldn't, and maybe this is just me being stereotypical, I wouldn't guess for a West Coast girl or guy to be a fan or passionate about bluegrass and folk.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe like the San Francisco scene or something like that, I guess makes sense to me.
There is a surprising scene out there. I think partially from like the Grateful Dead influence. You know, Jerry Garcia played the banjo and made these bluegrass records with like Olden in the Way and David Grisman was out there and Tony Rice. So there was kind of this cool scene. And that's actually why my dad moved out to the Bay Area. He wanted to see his musical heroes who were bluegrassers play in the Bay Area. So I always have to explain it because people are like, what are you talking about? Like from Silicon Valley, how did you get into bluegrass? So it surprises people. But there are these bluegrass festivals and there is a little scene out there that was fun to grow up in. It was a really cool music community.
And one that you embraced. And like, I knew your story before this album of you, and I always call you you have prolific picking prowess.
Oh, thank you. That's
how I describe you on the radio. Yeah. And it's true. But on this new project of yours, some might say, oh, Molly's gone pop. Or, you know, it's a change of your style. I don't see it that way because especially on what we're spinning right now with the Highway Nose, you have a sick like guitar solo in the middle there. How do you feel about that? Was it a poignant choice to try and broaden the genre spectrum for you? Or am I just completely talking out of my ass right now?
No, that's totally how I see it too. Like I didn't set out to, when people kept saying it's pop, I'm like, to me it's not pop because it's kind of more of a guitar record where we tried to center the whole thing around my acoustic guitar playing, and that's kind of the through line that we felt like tied it into all my previous work. And my last two records, I really wanted them to stay in that bluegrass tradition and kind of honor that music I grew up with. But with this one, I just felt like it would be fun to just have no rules. Still make it sound like me, but, you know, kind of experiment with different instrumentation and different sounds. And I had all these songs I was writing that I didn't feel like fit into any one box genre wise. So that made it a really fun project. And I feel like it pushed me as a guitar player too, because I had to kind of think outside the box. And especially on the one you mentioned, the Highway Nose, it's like I'm coming up with these guitar parts that I never would normally play anything like them on the record. And my producer Jay Joyce, he's a great guitarist as well, and he would just kind of hum these melodies to me and be like, play something like this, and then I'd try it out, and we spent a lot of time just working out the guitar parts.
Well, if you're familiar with your music, you always know that there's going to be some kind of guitar part. With the Highway Nose, to me that came out of left field, not like it didn't belong there, but I was just like, yeah, there it is. And it's such an awesome, like, middle to a great song.
Oh, thank you. It was a surprise to me, too. I came into the studio one day, and he was like, listen to this. I want you to shred over this. And he had come up with this whole solo section suddenly in the middle of the song that hadn't existed before. He was like, I made this at, like, 3 a.m. last night. Just, like, shred. And I was like, oh, my gosh, cool. It took the song in a whole new direction that I never would have thought of going in.
Ah, 3 a.m. The time where I used to get in a lot of trouble, but also have great brainstorms.
Yeah, totally.
Now, since I've been a father of two for the past 15 years, I can count on one half of a hand how many times I've seen 3 a.m.
Nice.
This is for all the guitar nerds out there. You're talking about shredding and everything. I've never seen a stringed instrument, well, maybe besides the violin or fiddle, that you didn't destroy in the best way possible.
Oh, thanks.
You have so many different styles of picking. Do you have a favorite? And I know the guitar nerds really want to get to the bottom of that too.
Well, my default is the flat picking. So I have this pick here that I use. It's a Dunlop pick for all the guitar nerds listening in, but it's a pretty thick, heavy pick. And that's what I'm doing 90% of the time. When I'm not playing clawhammer guitar, which is basically like sometimes I play the guitar kind of like a banjo, this rhythmic style called clawhammer. And usually you hear people play clawhammer banjo, but someone showed me when I was a teenager that you can do clawhammer guitar, which people always say it looks like slap bass, or they say like, are you hurting your hand doing that? And I'm kind of just like thrashing away on the guitar. But for the most part, I'm playing with a flat pick. And then the other thing I do sometimes is finger style playing. And the song The Highway Knows actually started as like a finger style riff, and then we went into the studio and came up with all these other parts, and now I play it with a flat pick. But yeah, that's my go-to, and that's what I'm most kind of comfortable with is flat picking.
Heck yeah. You mentioned to me before you guys rolled up that you were in a guitar shop.
Yes.
I'm curious, were you there shredding like Stairway to Heaven? Were you doing all the band songs? Band.
I don't
as in
know
not
how
like
to
a
play.
Band, but B-A-N-N-E-D. Like, you're not allowed to play these.
I don't know how
little
to
child
play
of mine.
I've only ever played those songs when I'm doing Guitar Hero, the game, very badly. Nice. You would think since I can play guitar, I'd be good at Guitar Hero, yeah. But it does not transfer over. No, we were in Guitar Center today. There's a new Guitar Center here in Austin. It was a brand new one, and we went in and did a little guitar workshop. So I played a couple songs, took some questions, took pictures with everyone, gave away an Epiphone guitar. Nice. So all along this tour, Guitar Center and Gibson Guitars, they've kind of teamed up to curate these workshops where I'll go in and play. And it's been really fun. I get to meet everyone and then give away this little guitar at the end. So that was a blast.
You like, just to let the radio listeners know, she seems like she's genuinely that, like, you really enjoy that.
It was fun,
like, hanging out with folks and
yeah, I go through like
being part of the guitar community.
It was, yeah, this is like the first tour in a while. So I used to go out to the record table after every show and I would meet people that way. And then after COVID, I just stopped doing it because I was nervous about, you know, having to cancel shows if I got sick. And then it just became easier not to, because it would add, you know, it would be hard for us to get out of the venue, and we're in a bus now and we have to like be able to leave. So it just started being kind of not logistically feasible. So now it's like great that I get to, after years of not really getting to meet people too much at the shows, get to do these little pop-ups and still meet people, take pictures, hear their story. And like some of them were saying, oh, we've been fans for years. We never thought we'd get to meet you and take a picture. So that was really fun. And it's just a great way to connect with people. And they had all these questions. So many of them were guitar players. I got to sign a guitar. And yeah, super fun.
MollyTuttleMusic.com to follow along with her. Her new album, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine, is out now. And Molly, one of the things, there's so many things that I admire about you and your playing and just you as a human being. If you look at the visual of the album, it's kind of like the old Brady Bunch where there's squares.
Totally.
You're in the middle, mm-hmm. wigless.
Yes.
And then you have different styles and colors of wigs all over there. I appreciate your pick and prowess. I appreciate your voice when it comes to singing.
Thanks.
And I think that there is such a message in how you have chosen now to use your voice to be an advocate for the alopecia community. Years ago, I saw some interview where you did, and it was like that teeter moment where you just decided to go for it. And like you might have mm-hmm. performed for the first time without a wig,
yeah.
or how freeing that was for you as a human being. And you kind of talked about how growing up kids were not the nicest.
Yeah.
Not many kids are.
True.
But I'm I just want you to speak on that and how you are, if you want to give a voice to the community and mm-hmm. be an advocate for a moment, because that translates into so many different realms of yeah. what we as humans actually go through. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, not everybody might be diagnosed with alopecia, but yeah. it could be something. And owning it, confronting it, and then just barging through that door and like, I'm me, what are you going to do about it? Can be so freeing for folks.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I've just kind of slowly taken these baby steps. I lost all my hair when I was 3 years old, and it's like, it's a weird condition because it doesn't like make you sick, physically ill in any way, but you suddenly just look different from everyone else. So like growing up as a kid, people were like so confused why I didn't have any hair, and I didn't really know how to explain it to people. I didn't want to talk about it. And so I really had to like take baby steps of just, you know, opening up about it to close friends. And then finally got to the point where I performed at a conference for people with alopecia without my wig and posted a picture on social media. I remember I was boarding the plane to go to this conference. I posted a picture online, kind of explained my story, and then turned my phone off. And I did not want to turn it back on because last time I had, you know, gone out without a wig was when I was a kid, and I got all these mean comments and stuff from other kids at school. So I was so scared. And then I remember I turned my phone back on, and it was just floods of supportive love from all these people, and people were texting me, and it was just so wonderful. So it was a huge weight off my shoulders to not be carrying around this secret. And then since then, I've just felt like I've, you know, just taken more steps, like with my songwriting. I wrote a song called Crooked Tree a few years back, which is all about embracing the things that make us different and make us like unique, even if they're things that we struggle with, and how it's okay to be the crooked tree. So I've heard from so many people since I've gotten to sing that song all over the place that, you know, they resonate with it, and people have things in their lives that they feel are similar, have made them feel insecure at times. And then on this new record, for the first time, I wrote a lyric about wearing wigs, and I wrote this lyric, I got a new wig to get you out of my hair. So that was the catalyst for making this whole record cover where I'm wearing all these different wigs. I thought it was fun to, for the first time, put a picture of me without the wig on the cover, but also just show that, you know, it's become this form of self-expression and kind of reflect all the different styles of music and the songs on the album too. Just kind of feel like a chameleon at times.
Just two more questions on that. Got to ask this for my guy, Jordan, who is a wig connoisseur as well.
Oh, cool.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have different ones for different moods? And do you name any of them?
I haven't named that, or I'll try coming up with names and I just forget what I name them. Sometimes other people will name them for me. Like I have this girl in Nashville who she'll like style them, and she's come up with some names for them, but I can't even remember what they're called. It's like my guitars, like my crew has now started naming my guitars. This one's name is Mac for Main Acoustic, but they just call it Mac.
What's up, Mac?
So my wigs don't, I haven't named any of them, but I do have favorites. You'll get one and then wear it for like a year, and then it kind of gets a little run down looking. Like a couple of years usually they last. So my current favorite is like the newest one I just got from my friend Amber Jean, who she has alopecia and she has a wig company that she started to help women with
hair loss. Give her a shout out.
Yeah, Amber Jean. Check out her wig company. She was actually in Austin doing a pop-up last month. It was their first time coming to the States because her company is based in London. But yeah, she came to Austin for the first time. Never been to the U.S. before. That was in October. But the wig, I'm going to wear it at the show tonight. And it's so soft. It's cool. Luscious. I love it. So shout out to Amber Jean.
And before we move on, just give a shout out to the National Alopecia Areata Foundation. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
And you pronounced it right. National Alopecia Areata Foundation. They're the ones who really have helped me so much. And they help people all over the country come together. And really having that community is my biggest piece of advice to anyone going through anything. Just find people who are going through something similar if you can. And whether it's like online or support groups in your area, or going, what I did was go to their yearly conference and just meet hundreds of people with alopecia. And it was so helpful for me. It just to open my eyes to these wonderful people feeling totally confident in themselves and, you know, still achieving all their dreams and all their goals, despite having this condition, which can make you feel like, oh, I'm never gonna be able to get my dreams to come true. Because like when you don't see anyone out there who looks like you doing these things that you want to do, it can be hard to feel that confidence. So that was the best thing for me, was just finding that community through NAF.
I think there's something so powerful with that, Miss Molly Tuttle, that regardless of what it might be that you're going through, if you're having a hard time dealing with it mm-hmm. or conquering it yourself, like you just said, find that community.
Yeah.
There are others totally. That are there to build you up, support you, mm-hmm. and help fight with you.
Yeah. And like your family and your friends, they're great too, but they don't always know exactly what you're going through. So finding people who are going through something similar is just so important, I think.
Well, I think it's so awesome that you use your voice for that. And thanks. I've seen your work with Joy RX, who I've worked with in the past. I would encourage anybody listening to find a way to do something nice for someone else that's outside totally. Of your comfort zone. There's so many great nonprofits. Even if you are lucky enough to not ever gone through something, mm-hmm. Find something that speaks to you and lend your time or talents to that. And speaking about your talents, from the album So Long, Little Miss Sunshine, what song are you going to rock for us? And can you set it up, please?
Yes. Well, since we were talking about The Highway Knows, and I'm on the Highway Knows tour right now, I thought I would play that one for you all. Yeah. And this is one I wrote with my partner, Ketch Secor. We just got engaged on Thanksgiving, and we wrote this love song together. So this has been kind of a nice little story of my life in the last year or so since we wrote this one. Every traveler on life's road needs a companion to ride along through the rain and snow. Across a desert canyon, found a friend when you jumped in. Shotgun, love to last until the journey's end. Like a river run into the ocean blue. Like a million roads leading back to you. You're my destination, you're my last stop. And the highway knows I'm gonna love you till the wheels fall off. Road map and an old guitar thrown in the back seat. Following a shooting star, you flagged me down some back street. Like a dream, you jumped in. Shotgun, now I don't want this highway to end. Like a river running to the ocean blue. Like a million roads leading back to you. You're my destination, you're my last stop. And the highway knows I'm gonna love you till the wheels fall off. Ooh, ooh. Every road keeps rolling back to you.
The highway knows I'm gonna love you.
Hell to the yes, Miss Molly Tuttle.
Thank you.
From her album, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine, you hear that. The Highway Knows here on Sun Radio. And that was just live in Sun Radio Studios. Thank you for blessing the Sun Radio Studios with your talents. Good luck on the rest of your tour here. And know that you always have a home at Sun Radio if you're ever in Central Texas.
Thanks so much.
We much love her album, So Long, Little Miss Sunshine, out now. MollyTuttleMusic.com to follow along with her. And hey, you are a fellow Januarian. So happy birth month next month.
Woohoo! Are you a January too?
I am, but I'm on the cusp. I'm an Aquarius. I'm later in the month.
Oh, Capricorn.
You're a Capricorn.
Yep.
And hey, keep being a crooked tree. We need more crooked trees in this world, sister. So
thank you
so much for hanging out with us, Miss Molly Tuttle, live on Sun Radio.